topics on the agenda. We're hoping each one will take 5 to 10 minutes, and we will be out of here no later than 30 minutes from now at the very longest. So Jen, can you share your screen, or would you like me to share mine? Me? What? Oh, here it comes. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. So on our second slide, you will see the topics that we're going to be discussing today, the virtual learning plan, which Larissa Flores will give a very brief overview about what we are proposing to TEA. We will also review with you our plans for ESSER funds. Ms. Cheris and I will discuss that with you. And then I will go over very briefly where we currently sit in our wellness plan. And then Ms. Pritchard and Coach Leach are with me to answer any questions that may come from that. Before I kick it over to Ms. Flores, I was gonna let you know that right now, in terms of virtual learning in the legislature, because as you know, we are awaiting information from them as to what they will and will not allow. So until that is finalized, anything that we are proposing is exactly that, a proposal. We don't know what support will come from the state. At this point, the Senate bill that was supporting the virtual learning has ceased to exist. So it's dead on the Senate floor. The House bill version, which is the one more similar to, if we have one, we're hoping this one is the one that goes through because it's more similar to what we are proposing. So that one is still alive, and I'm thinking we'll know something probably by the end of next week as to whether or not that's going to get all the way through the system. So Larissa, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you go over your slide about virtual learning, kind of give us an overview of what our proposal is.
Thank you, Dr. Stewart, and good afternoon, everybody. So I prepared a very short presentation. And again, like Dr. Stewart said, if approved by the state legislature, this is our tentative plan for virtual learning for next year. So our virtual learning plan, we do call it virtual. We are getting away from e-learning as it will look very, very different than what we are used to from this past year. So we will no longer be using the term e-learning. It'll be virtual learning. Our virtual learning plan is going to be very restrictive. We will be asking students to apply and qualify. And for students to qualify for virtual learning, they're going to have to be at a high risk of severe illness due to COVID-19 and have it documented through their medical care provider. Students will also have to have documented proof of good standing academically and with their attendance and have proven to be successful on the virtual learning platform this past year. So we are asking a lot of kids, we're asking students all these restrictions. We will plan to service students only in grades 4 through 12. We'll be asking for also a time commitment to the program. There will be no in and out as has been practiced in e-learning. We're asking elementary students, so in grades 4 and 5, they'll have to commit to 1 year of virtual learning. And at the secondary level, they'll have to commit to at least a semester. We will only be able to offer certain courses and programs due to the limitations that this program will offer, and of course, because of staffing. So no AP or honors or any type of advanced classes will be able to be offered. We will also not be able to offer any extracurriculars when it comes to athletics, band, anything UIL related, we will not be able to offer. We will have a signed agreement from parents and students agreeing to all of these requirements. As when it comes to our teachers, we're going to be asking our teachers to apply for this program as well. We will be looking for individuals who want to teach virtually because it is very different than teaching in person. And so we want dedicated people who really enjoy teaching virtually and do it well. One thing that we are very, very adamant about, and everybody that has, been part of putting this plan together, is that we cannot allow our teachers to do concurrent teaching anymore. It's not feasible. And concurrent teaching is teaching in person and virtual at the same time, which is the model that our secondary teachers have been following. So moving forward into virtual learning, we want to make sure that we have dedicated teachers just to that platform. And that is a very brief snippet of
it is
what our tentative plan is.
Thank you, Larissa. I appreciate that. Are there any questions, comments, concerns? We're going to open the floor for about 10 quiet seconds here to let people ask any questions that we may or may not have answers to. And if we don't have any, then we'll move on to the next topic.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What happens to the teachers that are now doing the e-learning? Are they going to be able to be implemented back into regular classes, or what's going to happen to them?
Yes, ma'am. So those people are currently servicing our students who are e-learning, but they're still enrolled in the district. So those students would come back into in-person learning, and then we would use those teachers for our in-person learning because our classes are full as it is with in-person. So we would need those additional spots.
Okay.
Does that help?
I just wanted to make sure we weren't like going to throw them out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Great question.
Hi, I'm sorry, I'm driving, so I apologize, my camera's on. This is Jana Clement, but I just wanted to say a comment of just thank you for everybody that is just executive, because we really appreciate you guys listening to teachers and taking our input in. And when you said no concurrent teaching, I did a little happy dance. So we just really appreciate you guys just investing in us and just really valuing our voices too. So thank you.
Absolutely. That was important to us, and especially Ms. Flores's team as they were working on this. We appreciate y'all voicing your thoughts too. Anyone else?
I have a question.
Yes.
It says that grades 4 through 12, will there be any kind of other programs offered from kinder to third for any of those children who do have those illnesses or, you know, are circumstances?
Larissa, do you want to?
The answer is no, not at this time.
Okay, thank you so much.
Great question, thank you. Any others? Those are really good questions. Thank you all so much for asking them. Okay, let's move on to our next topic. We have to, by law, bring a plan to you each year for our federal grants. Today, we're going to be talking about the four that you see on the screen right now. Ms. Cherish is going to walk us through the things that we are proposing, with a special emphasis on the ESSER money that is coming to us from the federal government. So I'm going to turn that over to Ms. Cherish. Tammy, if you'll go through the information on the slide.
Okay, last time we met, we briefly went over the ESSER, the two remaining ESSER grants that will be available to us, and the allowable uses. We have listened and looked at the data, and we wanted to let you know that right now we're proposing to use a good deal of the funds for class size reduction to address learning loss. The two different ESSER funds, we have ESSER 1 now in place. ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 are the result of two different federal acts. We're actually looking at ESSER 3 first. We'll have access to two-thirds of that $4 million in June, and then the remaining one-third at some point later. We're not sure when that is. ESSER 2, we don't have much information other than it's going to be about $1.7 million. But the proposed usage right now is class size reduction so that we can have smaller classes and help catch those kiddos up. And part of this process that we engage in every year with the DEIC that's particularly important this year is to get input from our stakeholders on our proposed uses. Also, there are two other grants that have become available that we're going to try to get everything done and get them applied for. One is a JET grant, and it's to through Texas Workforce Commission, and it's to equip a computer lab to help kids get industry-based certifications in that field. And another one is a school violence prevention that's through the Federal Department of Justice. We're looking at possibly getting some emergency notification equipment to use at the campuses. So we would like your input on the proposed uses of those funds. Does anybody have any questions about how those funds come to us? Oh, and I forgot to tell you, we are required for both ESSER II and ESSER III to spend at least 20% on learning loss. We're planning on spending much more than that, but it is required that we really focus on catching the kids up.
We'll do the same thing we did in the last slide. If you have any questions, we'll just kind of have a quiet 10 seconds here. Okay, no questions at all. Everybody feels good about that.
Yes, actually, I just want them to know that you know, the there's been a lot of communication about it. The TAs and the federal government seem to indicate we can use that almost however we want. The district just believes that class size reduction is the best way to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for clarifying that.
And is that for elementary and secondary?
Yes.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you so much, Tammy, for reviewing that with us. I appreciate it. Jen, I think we can go down to the next slide. So by law, the district has to have what is called a wellness plan. And the wellness plan has two major parts. It's nutrition guidelines and then wellness goals. And nutrition guidelines are all about the foods and beverages that are sold or provided at the school. And then wellness goals have to do with promotion and education of nutrition and physical activity. That the SHAC, the Student Health Advisory Committee, has begun a document in coordination with food services. That the plan itself has to have those five bullets that you see in purple. There has to be collaboration on the plan with certain role players. Certain groups have to be represented. Has to have clear objectives, benchmarks, and activities. There has to be some system of measurement to measure the implementation. An assessment has to be done every year. Standards have to be in place for food that's provided at the school, and then it has to be clearly communicated to the public. So where we do have a draft begun, we are going to continue working on that so that we get the right players and the right information in place in the plan. So we will be coming back to you in the fall, probably asking a couple of you to sit as DEIC representatives on a subcommittee in the SHAC related to the development of the wellness plan. Coach Leach and Ms. Pritchard have been working with this group. And we do have a strong base to build on, but there are some things in the draft that we need to go back and revisit. So we will bring that back to you in more detail in the fall. Lisa or Stan, is there anything that y'all would like to add to that conversation?
I think you hit everything. I think the only big rock in elementary PE we're gonna do is we're going to implement the two words in a different form than we have in our leadership council with extracurricular. All PE on Fridays will do something called game day, and there will be a nutritional comment made by Stephen, and then there will be an activity, and all elementary schools will be doing it on Fridays, and it's called game day. And so that's something that we've shared with Shaq. And then, of course, I think the other thing is looking at our sex ed, curriculum. It's going to be the same, but we've just got new materials, and so it'll still be worth the wait.
Yeah. So we're just updating those materials, right, Stan?
Correct. Okay. All it is updating.
All Mm-hmm. And for example, the information that Stan just noted about elementary PE is not maybe fully fleshed out in the draft of the wellness plan we currently have. And then there are other things that are maybe too fleshed out that we need to pull back on. So those are the pieces that we will be shoring up as we move into the fall and work with principals and the SHAC again, then bring it back to y'all. Lisa?
That's exactly right. I just wanted to say that we, the SHAC will be working on that process very early in the fall of next year. So we can bring it to this committee as well as to the Executive Leadership Committee.
Yes. Okay, so again, we'll take a few seconds here of silence to see if there are any questions that bubble to the surface.
I did have a question, but it was in regards to the virtual learning, if that's okay.
Yes, of course.
I didn't know if I missed this or not, so I apologize if it was already covered, but the students that are participating in virtual learning, specifically secondary, will they still be eligible or allowed to participate in things like athletics or UIL extracurriculars?
Larissa, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, actually, no. The answer is no. They will not be able to participate in any UIL-sponsored activities.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jana. That was a great question. Anything else on wellness, on ESSER monies or other federal grants, or the virtual learning plan? Going once, going twice. Future meeting dates. Jen, if you will put us on our last slide. This will be our last meeting for the school year. I thank all of you who served on it. For those of you rolling off, we will miss you greatly. For those of you who will be meeting us back here in the fall, we will be sending out a survey in the next couple of weeks about how we want to process through next year's meetings. So we'll be back in touch with you soon. Wonderful to see you all. If we don't see you sooner, have a great summer.
Hold on.
Ah, yes.
We need to look at the minutes from the last meeting, or do you want me to just, they've been posted. We should be good.
Yes. And okay. And we can approve those in the fall.
Okay, perfect.
That's good. Yeah. All right. Now we'll see y'all later. Have a great summer.
Thank you. Good
bye. Night. Thank you.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know that I'd wear you.